everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money, but are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today. Welcome. It is Verdict with Senator Ted Cruz. Ben Ferguson with you. Senator, I feel like the entire show tonight we should just scream at one another and yell in honor of the State of the Union that you just walked out of. Are your ears okay?
Well, they're not. I have a little bit of trauma. It is 12:17 in the morning. And I just spent a little bit over an hour sitting on the floor of the House being yelled at by a deranged old man. It was an experience. And I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about that. We're going to break down everything that happened. But we also have a very special feature tonight. And it is a happy twist of fate because I was not the only person in the chamber listening to that angry old man screaming. But an unemployed podcaster and radio host and former marquee actor and book author turned out that he was desperately in need of some liquor and cigars, and so sent me a text earlier tonight. And so I'm actually quite proud to welcome back to Verdict my original co-host and my dear friend, Michael Knowles. Michael, welcome back.
Senator, it's good to be back. Ben, it's good to be back. But you tricked me. You tricked me because look, you're right. What do I do? I don't do Verdict anymore. So I had a lot of time on my hands. I sauntered down to D.C. I said, I got nothing better to do than listen to this old man yell at me for 3 hours, however long it took at the State of the Union. And I said, but you know what will make this night totally redeemed is I will text my friend, Senator Cruz, and we'll have a nice cigar. And you said, absolutely, Michael, come on over and we'll have cigars right after we finish the podcast. And I said, all right, you got me. I already agreed. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, and this is how we welcome you back. By the way, you went to this thing tonight as well, which was really just an hysterical State of the Union. If you're ever going to go to a State of the Union, there's nothing better than saying you can remember for the rest of your life. I was at the one that lasts an hour and 8 minutes, where it looked like Joe Biden might have been on some sort of drug and was screaming and talking very fast for at least the first 45 minutes of the speech. Then he went back to old Joe's stature and slowed it back down a little bit, so you can tell your kids and grandkids about that.
Wait a second, damn it! What was the time actually? An hour and 8 minutes.
It was, but it was because he talked so fast.
Okay, there's a problem. There's a problem with that, which is Roger Marshall sent a text to a bunch of us with all sorts of wagers, and one of them was an over under on the length, and his over under was 70 minutes, and I took the over, damn it, and so I was 2 minutes off.
You took the over, really? I was betting. I was just up there in the peanut gallery, but I bet I knew he couldn't go 30 or even under 40 because it would be a national news story. Biden can't make it. So I thought he had to go minimum 45, but I felt he couldn't go more than a minute over that. So I had it at 46, and he totally blew me out of the water. Say what you will, it was a horrific speech, but it went a long time, and he yelled the entire time.
I said 55 minutes. That was what I thought. I thought it'd be barely under an hour. But he was late. So, you know, I guess that maybe got him a little bit more jacked up as he was late. And is it true that he was late? Did either of you guys see the protesters that apparently they stopped the streets, all the pro-Palestinian protesters, and that's part of the reason why he was late? Is that true?
I have no idea. I know that's what people were saying, but it was strange. I've never seen a State of the Union where, like, the president shows up 30 minutes late.
Yeah, I did not see protesters, really. I mean, I guess I was in the Capitol complex relatively early, but I saw a handful of pro-Ukraine protests. And when I say a handful, I mean like half a dozen, and maybe some of the pro-Palestine, but yeah, no.
There were none that I saw at the Capitol. Maybe there were at the White House,
yeah.
But there are none over at the Capitol that I saw.
Hey, when you get the doctors and they got to get you juiced up for your night, it may take an extra 20 or 30 minutes. I want to break down this and talk about some of the highlights, obviously, and we're going to go through those. But first, let me tell you about our friends over at the International Fellowship of Christian and Jews. We all know about the atrocities that were committed by Hamas last October the 7th. And we know right now how much pressure Israel is under from the rest of the world to have this ceasefire. The reality is the toll on the Israeli people is staggering. It's massive. There are hundreds of thousands of Israelis that have been forced from their homes. Their entire communities are torn apart. People are trying to go back to their homes, and they're basically gone. Lives have been devastated by death and destruction, and that is why I want you to help right now by getting involved with the International Fellowship of Christian and Jews, IFCJ. Right now, they are doing everything they can to help those that are in critical needs of essentials like food, medicine, and emergency supplies for hundreds of thousands of suffering Jews. The need is great, and that's why we are partnering with IFCJ today. I want you to visit supportifcj.org to help. Every donation is needed to help the people of Israel. To give to the International Fellowship of Christian Jews, go to supportifcj.org. And give as generously as you can, because your gift will be matched to double in impact and help provide twice the support. So right now, help the people of Israel. Go to supportifcj.org. That's supportifcj.org. Senator, I want to start with the big shock for me was how he started the State of the Union of the United States of America dealing with, we need your money and I'm going to yell at you about it. And you better give me the money, because otherwise, if you don't, Ukraine is going to fall and the rest of Europe is going to fall and Russia is going to take over everything. That was really the start of the State of the Union, because that's not the number one issue on the minds of Americans right now.
Yeah, listen, the whole thing was bizarre. I've been to 12 State of the Unions. This was the 12th one. This was by far the worst I've ever seen. And the strangest I've ever seen. So this was a campaign speech, but it was an exceptionally bad campaign speech. So Biden was angry. He was bitter. He was screaming. He was extreme. And he was completely out of touch. The entire speech reminded me of a grumpy old man standing on his front porch screaming at the kids, "Get off my front lawn!"
It was very odd, and I wanted your perspective on it because you've been to so many of these now, and I couldn't tell. I said, maybe it's just my first one, and I didn't know. It did seem much angrier, but there was something hollow about it, like as if he thought, to prove that I'm alive, I have to be yelling the whole time. But what was so odd was he was yelling and slurring his words, and the cadence was off. Like it just seemed like I don't know, a bad theatrical performance or something.
It is also interesting in that it reveals the political strategy of the political White House for this election, which is there were zero nods to the middle.
Yep.
This speech said, Republicans across America, I don't want your votes. Independents across America, I don't want your votes. This was an effort to woo the squad. This was an effort to appeal, to bring back on the reservation Elizabeth Warren. And, you know, look, she's spent a lot of time on reservations.
She knows it well.
You know, Bernie Sanders, AOC. And I don't know if they're scared with the whole Hamas thing that they've lost the crazy left. But look, I can tell you one of the things experiencing it. Like, I enjoy State of the Unions. They're fun, the pageantry. It feels like, you know, it's a moment of American history. And frankly, it's just pretty friggin' wild to be like sitting on the floor listening to it. I mean, it's a neat thing. almost always, and this is true whether you have, I've been there for Obama doing it, I've been there for Trump doing it, and I've been there for Biden doing it. Almost always, you have multiple lines that are designed to get everyone on their feet. And it's a different experience. If it's your own party, it's like being at a Jane Fonda aerobics session. I mean, you're just up, down, up, down, up, down. Every sentence you stand up, woo! But any president has multiple lines that are designed to unify everyone, to bring Congress to their feet. We're all standing together. And it was weird. Look, I stand at the beginning and applaud, and I will always do that because I respect the office, even right. if I don't like the job Biden is doing. I respect the office he's holding. But then I sat down, and for the next hour, almost all of us stayed sitting the whole time. I do not recall any other speech that made so little effort to garner even a shred of support from the opposing party.
I couldn't figure out the calculus on that because I agree. I think I stood up for the hostage. We're going to bring our hostages back. I mean, that was the one line.
I did stand up for that. It was the hostages back.
And that was it. I mean, otherwise I was seated. It made it a very easy night. But I just couldn't understand the calculus. If you're looking at the polls have been reliable, for, at least for the Republican primary.
Yeah.
And the polls are putting Trump up right now in 7 out of 7 swing states. And nationally, it looks like he's up 5 points. It could change. But if I'm Joe Biden, I don't need AOC and Ayanna Pressley. They were on their feet. They were cheering. I don't need them right now. I really need those Nikki Haley voters.
See, and I think it was when I was watching it, obviously I was watching on TV and I had a different perspective than you guys that were in the chamber. But when Biden entered the House chamber and the Dems started chanting 4 more years, to me what it came across as was I've got to let the Democratic Party and machine know I'm not going anywhere. You're not going to replace me at the convention. I am the candidate. The entire speech, watching again on TV, came across as 100% a partisan campaign speech. And it was like, if you think you're going to get rid of me, you're wrong. You better get behind me. He clearly was going to the left. And I think it's the left, meaning the Democratic elites, the Democratic higher ups that are thinking, how the hell do we run this guy? Can we get rid of him? Can we bring somebody else in? It was like, I'm here tonight and I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, look, that's not crazy. I will say when the Dems began chanting 4 more years, that was weird, too. I may be misremembering, but I don't remember that ever happening before.
No, but I think it's like the lady doth protest too much in the sense that truly it's not even that I don't like the guy and I thought he gave a bad speech, but I thought 4 more years. Who are you trying to convince here? You know, I don't think you could convince him of 4 more years. So
7 more months.
Any 10 more minutes. Just finish the speech, please.
Yeah, exactly. I got 33 minutes to Dr. Say I can make it, right?
Right.
No, it was a very partisan speech, and I want to get both you guys' reaction to, I think, what was the most awkward moment of the night from a TV standpoint, and that was when the president went directly after the Supreme Court justices that were sitting in front of him. Yelful. It did not play well, I think, to the American people. Take a listen.
My predecessor came to office determined to see Roe v. Wade overturned. He's the reason it was overturned, and he brags about it.
That was my applause, by the way.
Look at the chaos.
You hear that light applause? That was me.
Joining us tonight is Kate Cox, a wife and mother from Dallas. She's become pregnant again and had a fetus of a fatal condition. Her doctor told Kate that her own life and her ability to have children in the future were at risk if she didn't act. Because Texas law banned her ability to act, Kate and her husband had to leave the state to get what she needed. What her family got through should have never happened as well, but it's happening in too many others. There are state laws banning the freedom to choose, criminalizing doctors, forcing survivors of rape and incest to leave their states to get the treatment they need. Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. you're about to realize just how much you worry about.
I mean, Senator, that was honestly one of the most shocking moments of any State of the Union I've ever seen. He looked straight down at them, yeah. And it came across that way on TV of you sitting beneath me. I'm coming after all of you, including you liberals down there, and you better get your act. And I think a lot of it also is, in a weird way, the anger and the disdain he had when he was looking at them, at least how it came across on TV, was part of the 9-0 decision, I think, for Donald Trump in Colorado this past week.
Yeah, look, it was a very strange moment. I will say, when he said, with all due respect, a number of us, including me, laughed out loud at that, because it was like, with all due respect, F you. Like it was not, there was no respect, due or otherwise. It was reminiscent in some ways of Barack Obama lecturing the court about Citizens United.
Yep.
And Justice Alito famously mouthed, "Not true." And actually, Justice Alito doesn't go to the State of the Union anymore because of that. That was the last he went. But the temperature on this was 300 degrees hotter. Like, it makes Obama's words about Citizens United feel almost quaint and antiquated. This was angry. It was bitter.
It was threatening.
And look, what's also weird about it, Biden almost never smiled. Like there was no effort to bring new voters into the fold. And even, listen, he when he's talking about abortion, when he's talking about Kate Cox's situation was tragic. He doesn't tell her story with empathy. He doesn't actually talk like a normal human being. And the horror that any parent would have at finding out that you had a child with a fatal birth defect. Instead, he just screams about it, which was a very strange way. And it was the same. He had one volume. He had one tempo. He had one affect through the entire speech. And it was. And by the way, he combined it all with massive dishonesty, where he's like, "And you Republicans want to ban abortion across the country." Look, I am not aware of a single member of Congress that has a bill to ban abortion nationwide.
I'm not aware of a presidential candidate, actually, a Republican presidential candidate. I mean, even to your point on dishonesty, Senator, obviously part of the Cox story is part of it is just quite tragic, and there's absolutely no nuance in the Democrats' telling of it. But part of it is dishonest. When the Democrats say she was not permitted to have an abortion when her life was at risk, that's just a lie. There is no state in the country where if a woman's life is at risk, she can't undergo the medical treatment, some of which would involve an abortion to deal with.
Yeah,
that.
So
that
Texas part. Law is explicit, allowing an exception for a medical emergency. But but Biden would accept no nuance. It was a Manichaean world where he was the self-righteous avenger, and everyone, the Supreme Court, every Republican on earth, everyone who disagrees with his view were the evildoers to be vanquished.
It was very strange, the focus on that. I mean, for a while, when I saw the guest list come out, I said, am I the only guest at the State of the Union who isn't invited to promote abortion? I thought, I understand the Democrats think they can really lean on that, so much so that they're going to explicitly attack the Supreme Court during the State of the Union. But is that's really the issue that Joe Biden wants to run on?
It is front and center, and then screaming about Ukraine.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, Ben Ferguson here, and if you're an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be a part of your investment portfolio. I want you to visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns when you invest with Labrador Energy, you have access to potential tax benefits, and you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. people. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Labrador's core executive team has more than 190 years of combined oil and gas experience and has drilled thousands of oil and gas wells. They are dedicated to mitigating risk while providing accredited investors with sound returns. So visit LabradorEnergy.com. American energy independence is crucial for our national security and future prosperity, and Labrador Energy is leading the charge to make that a reality. Invest in U.S. oil and gas today. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com. Ukraine was the top, but there was even weird other moments in there, Senator, that were also, I would say, bizarre. Were you guys taken aback in the room when he said the vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer? And everybody that was watching it, I think, at home was like, what in the world is the president talking about?
That was
investing
news to
in
me.
All America, in all Americans, to make every sure everyone has a fair shot. We leave no one behind. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That's what America does. That's what America does.
By the way, when he said that, even Kamala Harris's eyes got big and looked at him like, wait, what? The vaccine saved us from COVID and now it's beating cancer? It was very odd.
By the way, Ben, I will say, if he was telling the truth, if Joe Biden actually had cured cancer, you'd think he would have told us about it by now.
He would have led with it before Ukraine, you would hope.
Like, wouldn't you just start, good evening, I want to start by saying we have cured cancer. That's the end of my speech. Yeah. Thank you.
And the end of my campaign. I think I won re-election, actually. The COVID stuff, I guess, might have been the most dishonest part of the speech, because on some of it, he's just lying, right? He's lying about abortion. He's lying about the border. But on the COVID stuff, he uses partial truths to tell total lies, where he says, you know, we've cut the deficit by $1 trillion. Yeah, because the Democrats made us spend an insane amount of money justified by COVID. So, we've created a bazillion new jobs. Yeah, you shut down a ton of businesses on the premise of COVID. So, yeah, like technically, I guess that's true, but it's just a false economic painting.
Well, and I also want to ask you guys, is anybody looking forward to getting on Air Force One to go to Moscow?
I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but if you want to get in Air Force One and fly to Toronto, Berlin, Moscow, even Moscow, probably.
Even Moscow, probably. That's how he saved it. I'm like, well, if you're taking all the money from oligarchs in Moscow, I guess maybe we are going to fly an Air Force One to Moscow. Why not? Even though you're saying they're going to invade the world 15 minutes earlier and you better give all the money to Ukraine.
Look, it was out of touch. It was out of touch with the issues that I think people are wrestling with on inflation. I can tell you in Texas, I spend a lot of time listening to Texans. When they pay their rent, you remember the candidate in New York, the rent is too damn high?
A good friend of mine, actually.
Well, okay, that, like, mortgages, when you know, a young couple goes out and they're going to buy their first house and they discover that a 7% mortgage rate is very different from a 2% mortgage rate, and they can get half the house they used to be able to get. When they go to the grocery store and suddenly there's an extra...
But he's going to give you $400. Didn't he say that tonight in the State of the Union to help you buy that house that's over $100,000 from last year?
It was even better than that when he said the big savings. Forget about the price of groceries. There aren't enough chips in the bag of potato chips. But he says, don't worry, because I'm putting a cap. The credit card late payments used to be $32, and I'm going to make it $8. $24 in the pockets of every American. Reelect me in 2024.
It was over and over again. He had new things he was going to give away. Look, the $400 to everyone. Here, this will help you pay your mortgage. I'm just going to send you $400. Mind you, your mortgage has gone up because we spent so much money and we drove inflation and drove it up. So we'll just pay you. And our answer, the problem is we printed too much money and it caused inflation. My answer is we're going to print even more money, and that's going to help you deal with inflation. And, like, did anyone on the White House staff, like take Econ 101? Like, did they go for, like, one day?
Certainly not. The White House staff, since the Obama years, they usually get MFAs in creative writing, and somehow that's supposed to direct domestic and foreign policy.
By the way, Senator, did you notice there was, not only was it angry and bitter and extreme, but there was also very little beautiful about it. I mean, sometimes State of the Unions have some poetry to it. I mean, you think of Peggy Noonan writing for Ronald Reagan, and there are beautiful moments in the State of the Union, and there were no beautiful moments tonight.
No.
I think it's because he was running for re-election. He was all about that. I'm not going anywhere.
Even at the end of the speech, though, because I totally agree with you, Ben. He was, and I agree with you, Senator. You know, this is this rallying of the base. Maybe it was just to shore up the Democrats because he feels that Gavin Newsom's lurking in the corner. By the end, he started to lean in a little bit toward what could have been poetry, but it was so platitudinous.
Yeah.
And also, it was self-contradictory. So within the span of about 3 minutes at the end of the speech, he says, we are still the United States of America. We have enduring values. We believe what we've always believed, these old enduring ideas. And then, not 2 seconds later, he says, but we got to get rid of the old ideas. We need all the new ideas. Not these. And I said, wait a second, buddy. You had two speechwriters, clearly, with separate theses on this, and they don't work together.
We're talking about tonight, the world is in flames, and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster, but it can't ruin my day every day, right? Because when I wake up every morning, I want to start off on the right foot, and when I get ready to do radio at 7 a.m., I need a really good cup of coffee. Well, you got to check out Blackout Coffee, because they are an America First cup of coffee, premium coffee. You know there's a bunch of woke coffee companies out there. This coffee is 100% America, 0% woke. And Blackout Coffee is committed to conservative values, from sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping. They embody true American values, and they accept no compromise on taste or quality. So stop giving your money to woke liberal coffee bean companies. Switch to Blackout Coffee. You'll get a premium cup of coffee every time from an American company you're going to love. And I'm going to save you money. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/verdict right now. That's blackoutcoffee.com/verdict right now. And when you use the coupon code VERDICT, you're going to get 20% off your first order. If you love coffee, then get Blackout Coffee. blackoutcoffee.com/verdict. Be awake every day, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/verdict. Promo code VERDICT for 20% off your first order. Senator, you did Hannity tonight, and there was one thing that Hannity said that I thought was very interesting in his monologue. He was talking about the obsession with the White House, saying that the economy is strong and Bidenomics is working. I want you to hear what he had to say. For everyone that missed it, it's very interesting.
Let's start with his lies on the economy. Take a look.
I inherited an economy is on the brink. Now our economy is literally the envy of the world. 15 million new jobs in just 3 years. A record. Wages keep going up. Inflation keeps coming down. Inflation has dropped from 9% to 3%, the lowest in the world, and tending lower. The landing is and will be soft.
All right, here is the truth. Here are the facts. Since Biden took office, cumulative prices have risen over 17%. Real hourly wages have only risen 13%. 60% of our fellow Americans, sadly, they are living paycheck to paycheck. Now, costs across the board, they are surging. Groceries are eating up more of the American people's paychecks than they have in over 30 years. In fact, according to a recent study, Americans now need to make $11,400 more to afford the same quality of life that they did in 2021. And his claims about job creation, another lie. In reality, almost 10 million of those jobs are just, well, backfield jobs or temporary jobs that were lost during the pandemic. And as we know now, many of those other jobs were part-time jobs going to many foreign-born workers that he's let into this country unvetted illegally.
I mean, Senator, you hear that montage. It's spot on. But yep. This goes back to how tone deaf this White House seems to be. It's the economy, stupid. You walk out there and you the beginning of the State of the Union was, I'm going to tell the American people, you must give massive amounts of money to Ukraine or you're an evil person. You better give me abortion on demand and allow me to kill more babies or you're a terrible person. And on top of that, I'm going to attack the Supreme Court in front of me and basically say they're illegitimate. And then after 40 something minutes, I might mention the number one issue for many Americans, which is border security. It took him 40 plus minutes to get to that.
Well, and let's, before we turn to border security, which we obviously are going to talk about, let's pause for a second on inflation. And I'll say, number one, Hannity referenced the study that says it's over $11,000 a year to live the same standard of living you had in 2021, just 3 years ago, before Joe Biden came to office. That works out to nearly $1,000 more a month.
Wow.
Is what people are having to pay just to tread water, just to stay where they were in 2021. And I got to say, the moment where Biden seemed most out of touch on this issue was when he did his whole shrinkflation thing. And it kind of felt like, you remember Andy Rooney, who'd be like, you ever notice when you buy potato chips,
yeah,
as many potato chips in the bag as they used to be? Why is that?
It's a direct quote from the State of the Union.
If you're trying not to seem like a crazy old man ranting,
yeah,
maybe don't sound like a crazy old man ranting.
Yeah.
And on the other level, no kidding. Yes, we're aware what shrinkflation is, and you caused it. Like there's no actual use of the cranium to say, well, what is causing those mean old corporations to put fewer potato chips in the bag? Do they just hate their customers and don't want them to eat potato chips? Or are they dealing with inflation and it costs more and more and more, and they're trying to find ways to fight the inflation that you caused by printing trillions of dollars in money we didn't have? There's no awareness of that. There's just ranting, I don't like shrinkflation. So what are we going to do? Pass Bob Casey's bill on shrinkflation. And we're all looking at each other going, what the hell does Casey, you know, have? Like, what does Casey have a law? We're going to count the chips in your bag. And if you're below the chips, Joe Biden gives you $400.
The like, Tostitos Protection Act from Casey. You know, it reminded me of that meme of the guy who has the gun and he turns around and he shoots someone. And then he looks at the camera. He says, why did X, Y, and Z do that, right? Yep. And it blames anything else. And it's Biden with the inflation. He has all this massive spending. And then he says, why did the Tostitos company do that? But if you had taken even economics 101 in high school, you would say, look, the chip company has always had an incentive to maximize profits. The thing that has changed is not that all of a sudden the potato chip company wants to make money. Clearly something else in the economic. What, yep, has changed here between the last 8 years or so?
By the way, when the economy is booming, think what big, mean corporations do. They sell mega, mega size, even yeah, more chips. Right. You know, the big gulp with enough to drink to have you on caffeine for the next 13 weeks. Like, that also is the profit motive if you're not dealing with crushing inflation and trying to figure out a way to make things work.
Right.
All right. I got to ask you guys about the heckling that happened. There was one person that heckled tonight. It's now being reported that that individual was a Gold Star father whose son, Lance Colonel Kareem Nikuri, who was killed by a terrorist suicide bomber during Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. I usually am not a big fan of heckling. I don't think that's heckling once I learned the backstory. That was an angry father who saw a president that was rewriting history.
Yeah, look, we did not know the backstory when he yelled. We could tell he was yelling something about a Marine company, but we couldn't tell the details in that room. Obviously, if his son lost his life, I wondered if it was one of the Marines who was killed in Afghanistan, if that's what he was referring to, and apparently it was. Look, Joe Biden accepts no responsibility for anything, and instead his White House tries to whitewash every foreign policy disaster as an absolute success. And you know, when it comes to the 13 servicemen and women who died in Afghanistan, that was completely unnecessary. It was Biden's fault. By the way, one of my favorite pods we ever did is when we focused on the testimony of the young Marine who was there in Afghanistan and had the suicide bomber, had him identified him, was prepared to take him out, and the Biden White House wouldn't let him. And he was prevented from doing so, and those servicemen and women were killed.
You know, I'm seeing a news report now. I don't know if it's been verified or not, that the man who was yelling out about his son and the Marines was arrested and charged with a misdemeanor for interrupting Biden. And I didn't know it was a crime at all to interrupt a State of the Union. If it is, I imagine not a court in the land would ever convict him, given the circumstances of what he did.
Have you seen the D.C. District Courts?
Well, fair enough, actually.
I was going to say, right, he'll have a mugshot, and trust me, they'll go after him all the way.
Right. I forgot where we were broadcasting from right now.
Swamp, brother. You are in the swamp.
But putting that particular instance aside, it did seem to me that there was more heckling than usual. You've been to a dozen of these, Senator.
Yeah, look, I mean, there has been the Democrats were doing lots of the four more years, which was weird. I don't recall anyone doing that for Obama. I don't recall folks doing it for Trump. I may not be remembering it, but I if it happened, I don't remember it. You know, I will say, look, in recent years, I have not liked there are some House Republicans who heckle the president, and I got to say, I really dislike that. I disagree passionately with Joe Biden, but I respect the office of the presidency and what it represents, and so even if I disagree with him, I just think it's not. Look, a Gold Star father is a different circumstance, right. but for a member of Congress, I think heckling is not consistent with the decorum and respect that is owed, not just the presidency. By the way, did you notice what didn't happen at the beginning of the speech? Did you notice the Speaker of the House
did not rip the speech up into
shreds?
And he didn't get to introduce him. Did you notice that as well? Usually you have him introduce. He didn't do that. The president just walked up there, went straight to the podium and started talking. And the entire moment where you're supposed to introduce him that comes from the Speaker of the House never happened.
It was very odd. And look, the heckling led to. So I predicted before the speech that there were four words that Biden would not say: Laken Riley and Jeremy Caceres. Now, as it so happened, he kind of sort of said Laken Riley, but he almost tried to. But he did so in response to heckling, to someone calling out, say her name, and there were many members of Congress wearing buttons and pins that said Laken Riley, say her name.
And he said the wrong name.
he said Lincoln Riley.
Who is the head football coach at USC.
And he had one of those buttons, so I think one of the members of Congress had given it to him.
Yes, I don't know if it was Congressman Andy Ogles who actually invited me tonight, or if it was Marjorie Taylor Greene or what. But there were a handful of the conservative congressmen who had it, and what I heard from one of the members was that when they handed it to the president. He leaned in, he said, oh, I like your button. But I don't think it was sarcastic. I think he legitimately had no idea what was going on and what it represented.
Well, no, look, when the heckling happened, he responded and he did sort of try to say her name, although he didn't get it right. But then, look, what he said, you know, she was killed. I'm sorry she was killed. And he expressed sympathy for the parents. And I got to say, that may have been the moment that pissed me off the most. Mm. Because, listen, so Lakin Riley's parents were invited. And actually, you know, they were invited and they decided not to come. And I understand they are grieving the loss of their daughter, their home in Georgia. And the Georgia House member who invited them left the seat vacant in honor of Lakin Riley. And, you know, frankly, they don't want Joe Biden's empathy. They don't want a Hallmark card from him. They want their daughter back. And what Joe Biden didn't do is take responsibility for his direct culpability. And let's walk through. Lakin Riley never should have been killed. The illegal immigrant who murdered her was caught. He was apprehended in Texas, in El Paso. He came illegally from Venezuela. We had him. And what should have happened is the Biden administration should have followed the law. They should have put him on a plane and flown him back to Venezuela. And if Joe Biden had done that, Lakin Riley would still be alive today.
But it wasn't just El Paso. What's so frustrating about this a totally preventable tragedy
yes.
is they could have gotten him in New York. They did get him in New York. He committed a crime in New York. They let him go.
He was arrested for endangering a child.
That's right.
But New York City, again, run by Democrats, calls itself a sanctuary city, and they let him go. If Joe Biden had deported him, Lakin Riley would be alive. If New York City had kept him in jail, Lakin Riley would be alive.
Forget about New York City. He ends up in Athens, Georgia. And he steals from a store. I forget which store it was. The Georgia authorities, I think he was cited with a misdemeanor for shoplifting. You had three distinct opportunities.
Three chances to get rid of him.
Three chances, three strikes, you're out, and a poor American student winds up dead because of it.
And by the way, let's be clear, Jeremy Caceres is a two-year-old boy, a beautiful little boy, who was murdered just weeks ago in Prince George's County in Virginia, about 30 miles from where Joe Biden was standing. And that little boy was murdered again by an illegal immigrant that Joe Biden let go. This is happening across the country. We're getting day after day stories of children raped by illegal immigrants Joe Biden has let go. And he had zero acknowledgement of that, zero intention of changing anything. It was just crocodile tears of, I'm so sorry about your daughter, without acknowledging it happened because of his policies. And he continues to do those policies, which means there'll be another Lakin Riley tomorrow and another set of parents that he again disingenuously apologizes
to. Well, and the proof that the president doesn't seem to care about this issue is the fact that it took him 40 minutes into an hour speech to even mention the border on his own. That's how far they buried the border issue in his State of the Union speech.
What I wondered when he was browbeating the Republicans for not voting for even more illegal immigration, which is what his border bill would have done, is he just counting on the American people not realizing that he is dismantling the fence that the Texas border authorities are putting up, that it's not merely passivity that he's allowing.
Actually, I'll give you a little bit of correction on that.
Yeah.
He wants to dismantle it, but he hasn't actually done it.
He hasn't succeeded.
No. The razor wire is there, and they ended up, Texas had gotten an injunction preventing the Biden administration from removing the razor wire, and that injunction got reversed. So the Biden administration is no longer prevented from removing the razor wire, but they have not done so.
So they wanted to do it. They're prevented from doing it. They're then allowed to do it, but they got spooked by the politics of it.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's actually encouraging that someone at the White House is saying, hold on, that really crazy thing that we were going to do, maybe let's hold off for a few days. Wow.
All right, before we end, I got to get you guys' reaction to two different things. Two clips from CNN. You guys were obviously in the chamber, and you didn't get to see all the commentary. I want you to hear what CNN had to say about the State of the Union. This is clip one. Listen.
He seemed like Walt Kowalski. You talked about this earlier. He seemed like Walt Kowalski in Gran Torino screaming at kids, get off my lawn, like an old guy screaming at kids.
My guess is that when he got into the heart of his agenda, the things that you ridicule about the cost of food and, you know, price gouging and so on, I bet you that scored with a lot of people. I think that the populist economic agenda is a powerful thing for him. Look, there are parts of it. I'm not sure that the attacks all landed exactly. They may have landed well in that room for sure, and they landed well with base voters for sure. I'm not sure with those swing voters that they landed as well. But I do think,
I mean, that's David Axelrod, the former Obama, you know, senior advisor, who's saying, you know, in response to one of the commenters saying, look, it was like an old guy screaming to the kids, get off my lawn. It's what you said earlier, Senator. But they're saying on CNN, and he's even admitting, hey, there's a pretty good chance that didn't play well or land with independent voters.
Okay, Ben, you're really scaring me. Are you telling me that unbeknownst to me, I was channeling David Axelrod on CNN? Holy crap. I might have to just hang it all up right now.
It's over.
I am off the rails.
Pour him a drink, Michael. Pour him a drink right now.
Something. We need to correct something.
And I got to say, even worse, Axelrod's analogy is better. He threw out the whole Gran Torino. He took it one notch better. I am just thoroughly humiliated.
And not only that, you'll like this one. So then there was another commentator on CNN who actually said this about the president's speech. Listen.
He talked about Snickers and snack chips
before
he ever got to the border. He was obsessed with his political rival more than he was obsessed with the condition of the American people. It was so weird. This guy lectures us all on unity, the soul of the nation, and he gives the most partisan convention speech in place of a State of the Union that I've ever heard. It's the literal opposite of unity. It's so partisan. He's obsessed with taunting Republicans. Well, it's not statesmanlike.
Yeah.
Let me say one more thing on Israel.
But I mean, that was Scott Jennings, a former colleague of mine, who said that. And he's right, by the way. I mean, he did talk about Snickers and snack chips before he ever got to the border. It was his words. It was just weird.
I like his observation that Joe Biden thought he was at the DNC. Maybe that's as simple as that. You know, he thought he walked into the convention. Whoopsie daisy, it actually was a joint session for the State of the Union. But, you know, the man doesn't remember his own name.
I will say one thing that also that clip reminded me of. It was odd how many times he referenced Trump. I cannot think of any State of the Union in my lifetime with that many references to your opponent, the former president, and you know, he's like, you know, I believe in truth and happiness and love and puppy dogs and fairies, and my opponent believes in hate and suffering and misery and dead puppies. Like it was just like, really, dude?
A little defensive, you would say.
Yeah, for campaign 101. I will tell you the list of things Biden didn't mention in the State of the Union. You guys ready for this? He did not mention U.S. service members killed in Afghanistan. He did not mention U.S. service members killed by Iranian-backed proxies in the Middle East. He did not mention gas prices. He did not mention TikTok or China. He did not mention North Korea. He didn't mention Cuba. He didn't mention school choice. He didn't mention the classified doc scandal. He didn't mention Hunter Biden or the Biden corruption. He did not mention fossil fuels. He did not mention deporting illegals. He did not mention a border wall. He did not mention the attacks on pregnancy centers. And he did not mention China's human rights abuses. Notice a lot of those connect with people that have given money to the Biden crime family. I'll leave it with that, Senator. Your reaction?
Well, but did he have anything to say about how many chips are in a bag of chips?
I think he did touch on that important subject.
You know, the State of the Union may be in trouble, but the state of chips is really in trouble.
There you go. Michael, hey, welcome back, my friend. Always a pleasure. It was this is fun. Nice way to recap the State of the Union here. Don't forget, Senator Cruz and I do the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We also have the weekend review on Saturdays as well, so make sure you grab that, hit that subscribe or follow or auto-download button. And on those in-between days, make sure you download my podcast, the Ben Ferguson Podcast. I'll keep you updated on the latest breaking news on those in-between days. And the Senator and I will see you back here in a couple of days.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money, but are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.